Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas, Need to Know News, Sunday, the 15th of September, 2024. Let's take a look at those topics and opening statements. Okay, first, the Great Awakening, the Great Choosing, it's really official lies and censorship under a dictatorship. And they're going to have a reason for the dictatorship. They always do. It's going to be some bullshit emergency. Or we are going to have this Emperor's New Clothes public recognition of the ongoing naked lying, looting, Orwellian, illegal rogue state empire, and we are lied to about everything. Got to go to the war, escalation of that, directed energy weapon disclosure, very interesting. Some debate, facts and optics, and some 2024 election optics. Brian, opening statement, brother.
Well, I didn't necessarily have as busy of a week as I would have liked to have. A couple of files fell through kind of early on that I was really hoping for. That's okay. Yesterday, my wife and I played in a backgammon tournament that had over 25 players in
Wow.
it. Yeah, my first round was against a guy that has been playing since 1968, and while I held my own, the man just, in my opinion, smoked me. It was the hardest player I ever played in my life. No doubt about it. And for him, I looked easy. So yeah,
Did you learn?
backgammon is one of those games that it's like chess, you know. You
Did you
can
learn any new moves from the guy?
I tried to think through every move he made. Like, why did he do that? Every time I saw something that wasn't what I would have done, I thought, why did he do it? And in the end, I found out why he did do it. Because he just kept such a beautiful balance of offense and defense, and always managed to protect himself in the right places on the board while squeezing me off on the wrong side. It's a sophisticated game. A lot of people think it looks like it's a real simple game, but I'm telling you, they've been playing this for thousands of years, and there is, anybody can sit down and play. It's like golf. Anybody can go to the golf course and play it. But play it well, that's a different breed of cat. Anyway, my wife and I both entered the tournament. We were hoping to do really well. I made it to the second round. She only made it through the first round. And then we heard that they played all night until like 8 p.m. to come out with a winner. So, I'm glad we didn't because we had to go to the Houston Christian University football game last night where our daughter was cheering for her second game. Terrible football. Terrible football game. I do miss going to the big games. But it's fun to go watch the cheerleaders, especially when you got a family member that's down there on the field. And it was good. Still hot here in Texas. We had a good time though, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Very good, very good. On that note, I'll say no need to know news tomorrow because my younger brother and I are going to go visiting together the school that we began teaching at together 40 years ago. So we'll be spending a day to do that and then spending another day down here in Mission Viejo, just having fun, both as retired public school teachers now. All right, let's go to the first story. We are lied to about everything. Everything is inverted. And they want dictatorial control. And they'll just, a dictatorship is whatever is said for as long as it's said. Massey to the World Health Organization, treaties don't override the Constitution. And at the UN, they're going to pass this. They're going to call it a treaty, whatever. And Massey is just pointing out, and he is the congressman, Republican from Kentucky, is that, hey, the Constitution. For us to have a treaty, and not that they're honored anyway. Let me talk to you a minute as an AP US government teacher. So, the treaty under Article 6, if the president says, yeah, we're going to do this, and the Senate ratifies it with two-thirds vote, according to the Constitution, that becomes quote unquote supreme law, which would make sense. And you could have a conversation about that, is that other nations would understand that the treaty is the bond of the United States and Congress is not going to override it, it becomes the supreme law. Okay, so treaty status. All right. So the UN has legal authority in only one area to prevent wars of aggression. That's it. That's all the people signed on for. So whatever they sign at the UN, and remember, I was a key player for results.org for two UN summits for heads of state. Whatever they sign there, it doesn't count here. If for it to be a matter of law, Congress would have to take it on. For it to be a matter of treaty, then it would have to be signed by the president and ratified by two-thirds of the Senate for that. There would be a process different from just whatever saying at the UN. But they want dictatorial control, and they're going to pretend that they have it. And we'll see what moves will take place in the Biden regime. All right, or the quote-unquote Biden regime. Brian, any comments on that one, or you want me to keep going?
Yeah, I listened to Chip Roy talk about this World Health Organization treaty, and I got to tell you, it sounds like an absolute disaster for the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's a major problem. And the question that really comes up when you boil it all down is who does have the power and the control? Because this World Health Organization treaty is so dangerous that they can almost arbitrarily declare some sort of health emergency and take away our rights and basically make an attempt at invalidating the Bill of Rights. Obviously, the courts, as we know them and believe them to be, would reject any suspension of our rights under a situation like that. And a treaty can't override our Constitution or our governing authorities. So the question comes down to which government forces under what control mechanisms are willing to subside and allow a global organization, because what this WHO treaty really does is set up a world government that will comply with these pandemic restrictions that will limit our right to travel, that will limit our right to free speech, that will limit our right to exercise dominion over our own bodies in terms of what gets put into them and what gets taken out of them. It makes an incredible blender of the Constitution. But the problem right now is, I think that when you analyze all of American society, you will find yourself faced with a fundamental question. Where is the real power? Is the real power in the courts, or is it in the House and the Senate and the White House? Is it in those agencies that we've come up to believe have the power, or is the power really sort of a blend of oligarchs and media components coupled with military industrial complex apparatus, followed up by, AIPAC lobbyists? Where is the real power at? And it's really nice to see Thomas Massie. I give kudos to Massie. Massie's been hitting it out of the park lately, and I've said this for a long time. He's one of the only remaining truth tellers in the game, and I wish more people would follow suit. It was Chip Roy, I believe, who did the analysis of the WHO, so he's a bit of a contributor on that, but he won't play the game the same way that Massey will play the game. Massey will absolutely obliterate everything that gets thrown in front of him as unconstitutional, and he'll do it right on the floor of the House or the Senate, wherever he happens to be speaking or presiding over whatever committee he's on that day. Now, I think that they will begin to recognize Massey as a threat and start to. I know the people of Kentucky are hugely supportive. I think he has close to 83% of the overall vote and overall support in Kentucky, but that doesn't matter. So what it comes down to is he going to be put on the proper committees to do the proper assignments, assuming that the government works the way that we've ta been taught that it does. I don't necessarily believe that anymore. I think that there's a bigger battle going on. And Carl and I were talking about this off air. It has to do with whether or not the military has taken an active engagement role in the shaping of protection, American system protections. And that's the jury's out, although both Carl and I find a lot of credible talk and thought coming from the, hey, this is a military operation program right now. And I think there's something to be weighed there. The problem is we can't see it. We can't put our hands on it. We can't wrap our minds around what our clandestine operations by nature. We just can't do it. We're not privy to that information. So there's a lot of speculation in that game right now, and a lot of wishful thinking, frankly. But it all comes down to where's the real power structure? And the only thing that can balance the scales of power at this point in time is going to be the military.
Military is the only way. Specifically,
Or
Brian was referencing Derek Johnson and former military, retired military, perhaps. I'm not sure about that. And he is citing military code for how they would conduct themselves. And that basically the military had to step in if the evidence was that we were taken over, attacked by a foreign country, and the foreign country's influence and cooperation and participation with funding Biden, the Biden family, for favorable policies, and the foreign interference in the election, the military is oath bound in to step in. So I don't know what's going on. The military does not want to be seen ever. They always want to be in the background. And as I keep saying, it depends on who's in charge. If the White Hats are in charge of the military, and you could be sure that there is going to be a splinter group that will not be, there'll be a split within the military, and that would be a war within a war. So it's crazy. We can only see so much.
Well, let's just clarify, the word is not necessarily a foreign country, it's a foreign adversary. That means not native to the American structure of systems. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Iran or Russia or anything like that. It could be a globalist secret order of adversaries. Very, very difficult to define exactly who your enemy is under circumstances like that. Especially if you're going to make any attempt to do it publicly, which obviously nobody has. So there's been a lot of truthers that have been out there that have done the best job we can trying to outline who this adversary really is. But the only way to know is to use NSA structures to be able to listen in on secret phone calls and read secret emails and secret messages and identify the adversary by mapping it out. I think the closest thing we're going to find on this side of the civilian structure is going to be like Dylan over at Deep State Mapping Project. He's got some really good maps, but he and his research team, they've come up with something that's incredibly interesting, but it would pale in comparison to something like the NSA could put together.
Yeah, it's a big war. A lot of it is over our heads. About all that we can do is point to what the puppeteers say and to explain, document, and prove how that is lies and what corporate media does. But those are just the public face and the public spokesperson. And yeah, you got to wonder who's in charge and how far back it does go. But what we can for sure show is that they lie. And that's what this first section is about. Is to understand that perhaps what we're witnessing is just this great choosing, this great awakening. And this is the Olympic women's boxing champion. We're told that this is a she. And the inversion is total. We're told that this is the moon lander. And we're also told that, we can't go back to the moon. And we can't go back to the moon because we lost the technology to go to the moon. It was just beyond our technological skills. We destroyed that technology. It would be too painful to get it back. That's what NASA told us. I've seen between 50 and 100 proofs now of objects visible on the horizon that, if we were on a sphere, would not be visible. And this is a curvature between this person and the Devil's Tower. I'll just point out the highlights here. So this person is at 4305 feet and looking out into the horizon, and that's the Devil's Tower. Now, here's a picture of it. So you can see trees at the base of it, and as consistent with every example I've seen. This is 28 miles away, and it is 100% visible. There is no apparent obscuration of this object in the distance from the curvature. And with the formula that we're taught as official for that size of a sphere, it would be 8 inches times the miles squared. And if you do that calculation at the Devil's Tower and that location, then there's just more proof. And what we're told is the opposite of reality.
Yeah, let me address that one real quick,
Yeah.
okay? So obviously there's a diverse group of people that are listeners to a truther channel like ours. Okay, so why is this important? Why do we even bring it up? Why do we even do it? Because it's something that we can actually observe and document. Now, is observation and documentation going to overrule propagandary and year, I mean, childhood programming that goes back to kindergarten? I mean, I remember watching Elmer Fudd dig a hole in Bugs Bunny and they popped out in China when I was a kid. There are years and years and years of ideas and concepts that have been put into our minds. Now, I can tell you that back in the 1700s, a lot of people, most of the people came, they had sort of a religious fundamental background, okay? So they're going to look at the book of Genesis as sort of the preliminary guiding apparatus as to what this world really is and who we really are. They're, you know, and then of course different religions are going to splinter off during different directions. Now, is the book of Genesis correct, or is it some sort of using English word allegory? Is it some sort of cryptic puzzle? Or is it correct or is it not? Of course, I've been a student of who are we since I was, you know, 18 years old, and I began looking into the mirror and trying to figure that out. So again, back to the issue, why is that discussion important? Because I can tell you for firsthand that when you get to the bottom of that mystery, why we didn't go to the moon, what really are we? If you can make it to the bottom of that rabbit hole, then you'll find yourself in a better position to begin to evaluate all of the things that you see in society as either and give them different weights. Okay. If you understood the biblical viewpoint as to what this world is, you'd understand that our bodies are wonderfully and beautifully made, that we're not a cosmic accident, that we're not, you know, abandoned people that are floating through outer space aimlessly, sort of a cosmic accident and the result of the primordial ooze and millions of years of collisions of atoms, but instead that we're beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of our creator. And our creator comes along and, you know, says, okay, here's the guide. This is what I want you to know. There's more things to it, but I'm not necessarily going to write everything down in this, but I am going to fix this book and allow it to stay fixed or keep it fixed in a certain sense, preserve it for years and years and years. So I'm one that always had that struggle in my mind as to, okay, am I going to take what my, you know, my public university anthropology course told me I was, or am I going to try to figure out who I am based on what the word of God is? I'm more one that's going to lean towards the word of God because I find it vastly more credible than anything that comes out of our scientific institutions. And when I sit down and observe and document that I can see 32 miles to Galveston and see the seawall right there, I know that that curvature is not based on a 25,000 mile circumference of the Earth, which would result in 8 inches per mile squared drop. I know it because I can sit right out here in my backyard and put a telescope on Galveston on a clear day across the water. So, personal experience, observation, and documentation, will it override the propaganda? That's what we need to break people out of the structure so that they can begin to reevaluate this world and think independently. And that's the big thing. I think that's a theme of our show today. Is as we get through it, I'll show you how. But the most important thing right now is that people are waking up and beginning to rethink the institutions that have become so corrupt.
I hope so. I hope they're waking up. That's what we need. And I would recommend just the premise that people take on, just to assume that everything is a lie. Everything. Or to hold in a legal sense is that once you've demonstrated a witness to have given false information knowingly to lie, then all other testimony should be held as unreliable. And that's a good place to start, is just to thank them for their stories and just hold it as unreliable. Now, this is a big deal. This is the anti-New York Times, Mike King, and he's pointing out that the New York Times seems to be pushing some boundaries towards truth. And this headline, Vance declines to denounce Carlson after the interview with a Holocaust revisionist. And also Tucker Carlson criticized for hosting Holocaust revisionist. And Mike King is pointing out that, hey, they're not calling him a Holocaust denier anymore. Other publications is. And why is the New York Times legitimizing a Holocaust denier? So on the subject of
The
that,
word didn't even exist until the 50s. The word didn't even exist until years after. Am I a Holocaust denier? I guess so, because the word didn't even exist prior to that. Hadn't even been used in modern society prior to this Holocaust idea that came up. Started being put out about the same time feminism and everything else got started being put out.
Yeah, and I'll put into the show notes at BitChute the show that we did discussing directly the factual background of the claimed Holocaust, and that, as far as I can tell as a professional historian, is that the official story is refuted by the historical facts. And if you want those details, they will be there. And Jim Fetzer has done great work for taking a look as a scholar of the information. All right, so for Mike King, he is pointing out that this is a change of questioning World War II of who the good guys were. That's a big deal. Now, with this, Jimmy Dore is having an interview with a gentleman who goes through the history of CIA coups. And he's saying that what happened on January 6th as a false flag attack to install the Biden, quote unquote, and Harris regime is a similar play that the CIA has done for decades
Capitol
in other
Police Chief.
countries.
We also have.
And he's absolutely right about that. And I do recommend this history of walking through the documentation, and part of what I want this new show to provide is professional or the best documentation that I can find to back up our claims so that we can demonstrate the factual credibility of our statements. Brian, your comments, brother.
Yeah, Benz is pretty good. He's really good. I mean, I like listening to Benz, and Benz with Jimmy Dore. That's interesting, because Jimmy does put a funnier twist on it than Benz does. He obviously doesn't, but Benz really cites what happened down in Brazil recently as sort of the same. They ran the same play as January 6th. Now, I listened to that interview, and I kept thinking to myself, well, wait, let's look at the similarities and differences between January 6th and the Trump assassination attempt, of which today there was theoretically another one, and we're told that they used an AK-47 in a backpack. Okay, whatever. I think it was on the fifth hole of Doral or something where Trump was playing. Look, On January 6th, they had Ashley Babbitt. On the Trump assassination attempt, we had Cory Compitore. The January 6th one was played to try to shut down a movement that can't be shut down. Certainly not that easy. So why wouldn't you to apply the same principles to what happened on the Trump assassination attempt? And how did Trump, again, back to this one thing that's a mystery to me, how did Trump wrestle control of the same team that put together January 6th to run his assassination attempt? Because they used the same models. The only difference was the human body that pretended to be Ashley Babbitt was an actual human. In this case, we had Cory Compitore that was not an actual human at all. It was a mannequin. But all the techniques have been around in a number of, look, this is a global phenomenon. These false flags are done all over the place to start color revolutions. If you think everything adds up about George Floyd, you're out of your mind. If you think everything adds up about Uvalde or Charlottesville or anything like, or Sutherland Springs or, the Dallas police shooting, nothing adds up at all. Las Vegas, nothing adds up. And when you find a situation where it can't properly be documented and everybody's told, don't talk about that, don't talk about that. And there's hearings and there's a bunch of smoke and nobody can get to the bottom of it. And there's good guys and bad guys and heroes and villains. You'll see that all the time. In a real investigation, let me tell you something. You get to the bottom of it and you get to the bottom of it after the investigation is over. Not like these other ones where, oh, in the Trump assassination attempt, the shooter acted alone. That was announced within 24 hours. What investigation took before they even opened up his phone? What investigation is there? This is not an investigation. You don't announce that. Did the same thing with Uvalde. Did the same thing. All the other false flags, same thing. There's no investigation whatsoever. And then there's a bunch of gaslighting, and then they keep it up in the media like fireworks and sort of play it out until they decide to cycle it out of the news with some other event that comes along. That's what a false flag is. But again, back to my main question. How did Trump wrestle control of that team of Homeland Security people that put together the false flags to run his own faked assassination attempt? And for what purpose? If you ask yourself the question about January 6th and come to the conclusion that the purpose was to quell a rebellion by using propaganda to shut it down, now you can see Trump has reversed the role. And why he's using those same witchcraft tactics and techniques, Hey, I don't know. I don't know what's under the hood. Now they're on our side. It's just like that pendulum of Republican Democrat uniparty stuff. Oh, now we're going to wrestle the party away from the Democrats and we're going to have the House and we're going to have the Senate. We're going to be able to give me a break. It's all a uniparty. I'll take one Thomas Massie over 300 House reps and senators because it's more about truth. Truth is what lasts.
Excellent summary. Thank you, brother. And as far as you pointing out that, so we do know that this assassination attempt is showing two things. And it's again, for me, it is strong evidence that the White Hats have been in control and they are in control. And what we're seeing is the show. And because the assassination attempt showed two things, it showed the normies that the Secret Service whacks heads of state, wax US presidents, and that really strongly opens up the history to RFK, MLK, and JFK. That's a big deal. And at the same time, it was all fake. As you point out, that was just a mannequin. And Trump's impossible out of camera ear boo boo. And that this, so we're sh the guy allegedly who shot the thing was halfway up between the bottom of the roof and the top of the roof. His body, he wasn't even in position to shoot, and his weapon was 7 feet away, and he had a head left, which isn't possible with the ballistic impact
Yeah, all
or.
that there's 50,000 variables we could pull up that point to the conclusion that we get to We just have experience getting to that conclusion faster.
So for me, that this is a false flag that was set up for optics that would give a wink and a wink and a nod to anybody paying close attention, but at the same time showing the normies the complicity, the criminal complicity of the Secret Service and the leadership, and that they'll whack people. So I think that's only possible if the White Hats have been in charge since Trump went in. And that for me, my assumption was that the ordinary human beings would wake up just to this the factual status that we have currently. But I have been wrong. And my family members demonstrate that to me. Work colleagues showed me that they needed something else. They needed something more. So this war that is perhaps in 500 dumbs, 10,000 dumbs around the world, 8 years of doing that in an enemy that I'm not capable of evaluating the scope of the enemy. I have no idea. As a working hypothesis, I think that it does involve literal reptilians. So I'm not in any position to feel confident in my assessment and judgment of it's taken so long. But I do think that we're going to have a break in by the election. Otherwise, we'll make it more interesting for ourselves somehow. Anything else, brother?
No, we can. We got a
All
lot of
right.
stories, so we probably ought to start slamming them out two or three at a time rather than one at a time.
Yeah, we'll do them by sections. All right, let's see. Go to the war. All right, major escalations. And this is Greg Reese, and he gives an excellent overview of what I'm going to brief you on. This thing resets by itself. So there is an origin of the U.S. involvement in Ukraine, and we have listed it on this show and documented it that these have been color revolutions and that this is the installation of puppets and it's a global empire and that's business as usual. We have the anti-New York Times. We have Secretary of State Blinken discusses the idea that the long-range missiles that require U.S. military architecture for target location, that they're going to use them. Okay. And Russia expels six UK diplomats as tensions mount over the missiles. And Caitlin Johnstone, we have genocide in the foreground, World War looming in the background, because Putin has said that, let's see, how much did we got this guy here. I'll let him say what he wants to say about this. The authorization for the use of deep strike weapons into Russia, which Putin has said that he will interpret that as an act of war by NATO on Russia, requiring retaliatory response. And China, just today, they said, you know, if NATO attacks Russia, we're going to help Russia. That's a big deal. And people may be feeling what this Polish representative is going to express.
Blinken, go home. Go home as soon as possible. Get lost. Get lost. We don't want you here. We don't want Polish people paying and dying for your wars. Thank you very much. Blinken, go home.
Yeah, that's straight to the point. And that's where people have to get is that, and that might be the optics that we're going to be seeing. And that'll be close to the end of the show is the World War III optics and scare event, or so I'm interpreting it. Brian, your thoughts?
Threats to the Constitution have always existed. Threats to the people of America have always existed in a corporate form. The original word fascism meant a combination of corporations and governments basically putting down the people. So the battle lines have been drawn since the beginning of civilization. Will the structures that set up the power structures overtake the people's will in time? And of course, the American experiment was a wonderful shot at forming a government where the people would have power and control power. But in my instinct, going back looking at what's taking place in Ukraine, Ukraine is sort of a Western proxy. I don't really see them more as more or less than any other sort of Western controlled proxy puppet, NATO puppet of Western influence. When I say Western influence, I don't necessarily mean only American. I mean European influences as well, old bankers, old German money, old Swedish money. And it was basically a huge money laundering scheme, a way to move massive amounts of quote unquote revenue from point A to point B through a war structure where it appears that it was used for one particular purpose or another. I mean, I think Zelensky just got like, he bought some ridiculous mansion with, what was it, like $100 million or something like that, $40 million, something like that.
Yeah, it's big.
But the fundamental struggle has always remained the same. And of course, our enemy wants to keep that structure concealed, whereas the people fighting it must keep that structure revealed the best we can. So it's a battle between conceal and reveal. And I think that this enemy, ever since they were brought into the United States, probably post-World War II with Operation Paperclip and many others, we learned a lot of tricks from those guys when we brought over those old-timers that had fought in those wars, that had dealt with large-scale deception programs. And of course, Operation Paperclip resulted in a number of quote-unquote scientific endeavors. And it also fundamentally out of the same structure came Operation Mockingbird. And the people tried to expose it early on. I remember that there were a number of early hearings back in the 50s and 60s where there, has the CIA been involved in any media? There was a lot of hearings trying to expose it. But over time, the corporate and institutional structure began to do darkness in such a way that they were no longer able to be revealed. And the media obviously got bought out by the institutions, which were controlled by those power structures, so that nothing else could be revealed. And then the people sort of fell asleep watching their televisions. And, we were very upset about John F. Kennedy. We were very upset about Martin Luther King, very upset about a number of different things that took place in society. But the biggest thing was that the American government began to conceal very important information from us. I think they used NASA, they used a number of different institutions to conceal information from us. And of course, the government transparency now is at an all-time low. I saw a guy do a Freedom of Information Act request recently on a government-funded institution, and they came back and said it's going to cost $86,000 to answer your questions for this Freedom of Information Act. So now the government is so shut down that they redact everything. Everything is so hidden and so lost in a maze that we can't get to the bottom of it. And of course, C-SPAN's, it's boring when you can watch Seinfeld or whatever you're going to watch. So people don't tune in like they ought to. If we could go back to the way the society was originally designed to work, there would be centers, pockets, Green Dragon Tavern, pockets of people that would come together, discuss the issues, demand transparency, and they were generally working toward a more sophisticated civilization with more transparency. These days, those days are gone, and these days are here. These days of confusion and darkness are here. And I don't really don't know how else to summarize the war in Ukraine, other than what is the war really about? Is it really about the power structure? Is it really about Russia? Is it really about Ukraine? What is it really about? And to me, it seems like the longer the war drags on, the war is really about a corrupt institution being revealed or remaining concealed.
Yeah, excellent summary. That's great, Brian. Thank you. Yeah, for what people are being shown for Ukraine, for sure, this is a big deal because to the objective observer, We're gonna say, all right, so Zelensky, that penis piano playing puppeteer of the West that is consistent with the takeover of running an empire. So they're attacking Russia, the declared enemy, with the via Ukrainians. That's what they're being shown, is that they're just that these people are psychopaths and running an empire and they're vicious. So that's great. And that I'm not even holding that as reliable. There may be something entirely else going on. Because again, the information that we get is unreliable. All right. Directed energy weapon disclosure. This is interesting. Declassified video shows Dragonfire laser weapon in action. And there it is. Destroying things. Here's a little promo video. Enough of that. And the idea that the directed energy weapon have caused these fires, we did cover this on September 4th. We covered it a lot, but this is a lot of the key data, is that a professional arborist has explained that what he witnessed for the Maui fire and the Northern California fire are inconsistent with fires. California fires are directed energy weapon attacks, and that's a retired fire captain and firefighter, actually two fire captains. And just the data, we've covered it. We are under attack. This is AMRev 2, World War 3. The people are under attack. And as Brian talked about, we can point to that they pick off anybody who becomes a leader for some sort of truth or justice, like JFK, MLK, and RFK. Brian, your thoughts?
I think technology is way ahead of space lasers. It's interesting. It's been around for years. Tech has been around for years. It's got to be way, way, way ahead of this.
Yep. So much with so much of the war over our heads. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's serious. We should take it serious. But part of me is like, all right, well, what are you going to do, bitch? I mean, seriously,
Well,
what are you going
if
to do?
Austin Powers and 007, sort of lampoon the idea of a space laser, that tells you this tech has been around a very
Yeah.
long time.
All right, debate facts and optics. Thought this was funny. Let them eat cats. So I think that we're going to see a lot of photographic and film evidence. I've seen some to substantiate the concern. And remember, this is a war, and a big part of the war is always going to be optics. And here are the earrings.
Earrings is the world's first wireless earphones made with real pearls. Unlike conventional earrings, these earrings are placed on the earlobes and project the sound from inside the pearl straight into your ear canal. This directional sound technology can avoid sound leakage and keep conversations and music private and secure.
Like, I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
If you thought earrings were merely a fashion statement, think it.
Fascinating, at least for the optics, is just deadly for the faces of our opponents or the masks of our opponents. Kamala's web of lies, debunking, debate, deception. Yeah, it was a PR stunt. And if you would like an analysis of some of the highlights, here's some of them. Okay, did you know that Lindsay Davis and Kamala Harris are not just professional acquaintances? They're sorority sisters in Alpha Kappa Alpha. Yep, the same sorority. It's hard to ignore how cozy that connection feels when they're supposed to be moderating in a debate. But David Muir has a track record of going soft on Harris while giving scrutiny to her opponents. Yeah, so here is the documentation for what we've discussed and what we've observed, that this seemed to be a one-sided propaganda attempt. And that by all appearances, Kamala's smooth performance means that she was fed the topics, or at least that's what we would have a rational person conclude. We just watched ABC interject themselves into the democratic process by weaponizing their position as supposed neutral moderators and wittingly using disinformation to manipulate the public, attempting to alter the outcome of the election. So, yeah, this is election interference, and that's an excellent point for that. Former Clinton advisor calls for internal investigation into ABC for rigging the presidential debate against Trump. And as Brian talked about with NSA, having that communication, that's a big deal. And I'm going to play this for 63 seconds of, I'll let RFK Jr. speak.
First question was, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?
She didn't answer.
She never answered that. Yeah. She never answered it. And the hosts were calling Trump on, you know, and debunking and fact-checking him on all of his questions. But they did not discipline her on that. We have doubled the inflation. The housing prices have doubled. There's 15 million more Americans in poverty. The suicide rates have gone through the roof. The drug overdoses, all the indicia of social deterioration have increased dramatically after. And then the immigrant problem. People want to go back to no inflation. They want to go back to 15 million Americans not being below the poverty line, which has happened during the Biden administration. They want to go back to where the suicide rate and the drug overdoses were low and all of these other issues where life was affordable, where we weren't at war.
Yeah, strong. And RFK2, also with the MAHA, Make America Healthy. Again, we have played those arguments, and RFK2 has straight out told his supporters, if you want me in power, vote Trump in power. Because when he gets in power, I get in power to make America healthy. Again, Brian, your thoughts.
You know, why don't you play that, since we're talking about RFK, I think that's an important topic. Why don't you play that next one with him talking to Roseanne Barr? I think it's the next slide.
The Roseanne Barr, okay.
Or maybe it was the next article. There's a tweet there with him talking to Roseanne Barr. And I think it perfectly isolates. Maybe, oh, hold on a second. It doesn't. Oh, it's on the Revolver. It's on the bottom of the Revolver article.
The bottom of the Revolver.
Yeah. RFK Jr. finally dropped the killer line that will flip 2024 upside down.
Okay.
Yeah. Scroll down there. Do you see where him with Roseanne Barr? Let's see if we can play that one.
Man, this is all just one big yank. It seems like more and more people are getting hip to that. That it's not two parties and it's not of, by, and for the people in any way. It's just corporate self-interest, and everything they do is to protect themselves from any sort of judgment or any kind of responsibility or accountability.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think I'm not as optimistic about how many Americans are recognizing it. I think the, you know, mainstream media.
Oh, please fake it with me, because I get so depressed that nobody gets it.
Everybody else is still in this IHOP, or a lot of people, you know.
How would we break it?
I don't know how you unravel an orthodoxy, because information doesn't do it. People are totally impervious to facts. A friend of mine is a psychiatrist. I said to them, how do you persuade somebody who is completely subsumed in that kind of religious-like belief system?
Yeah.
Because if you challenge somebody on their religion, you know, it just makes them dig in. Yeah. And he said, that's a feature of every orthodoxy, that it's impervious to facts. It's impervious to any kind of external stimulus. And that, he said, the only way that you can do it is through the Socratic method of you don't fight back, you just ask questions. And as long as you keep doing that and you don't fight them on it, but just say, is that this what you expected the benefit to be from it, you know? And is that working for you? And to do it in a way that's gentle and non-confrontational, so that you get, so that people maybe are stimulated to begin asking questions on their own.
Wow. Thanks for pointing that out. That is brilliant. Yeah, the Socratic method, just asking questions. That's what I attempted to do as challenging my school district. Kept me from being fired. Brian, your thoughts, brother?
The largest conspiracy that I ever encountered, where I had to really take the red pill, was this what is the shape of the earth one. And I, at this point in time in my life, I had already busted out Orlando and figured out what happened. And so I was coming around, and I was beginning to experiment with every other conspiracy that I could come across and try to familiarize myself with. Okay, how much of it is true and how much of it is just garbage? What can be quantified and what needs to be thrown out? How credible are the people that are talking about this particular issue? And as you all know, I'm still here today on Dr. Fetzer's channel, because I had to throw out at least 40 or 50 second tier sources of information, including InfoWars and many others, because if you can't be honest with me about Orlando, quote unquote, if you can't be honest with me about a false flag shooting, I wasn't going to be blackballed. I had seen too much. I had gone too deep. It was never going to happen. I was never going to go in reverse and just sort of lay down and play dead. And so the question at that point in my mind is, if I've been deceived about something this big, what else have I been deceived about? And I remember one night I was at a friend's house and I was talking with this lady, and she didn't know as much about the false flags as I did, but she said, oh, have you looked into flat earth? And I said, lady, look, don't talk about that. There's all sorts of things that we can talk about, but nobody wants to hear that because they're just going to think you're crazy and they're going to throw out everything you have to say. So stick with the conspiracies that can be proven, but don't touch this flat earth stuff. It's garbage. That was my original. It's too big to handle. And it took me about 2 weeks before I finally said, you know what? I wasn't being intellectually honest about that. How can I throw something out when I haven't even looked into it and studied it? And of course, so then I make my first pass. And what does the first pass run into? All the propaganda, all the misinformation, all the garbage that I have, that is there to reinforce how ridiculous of an idea and a concept it is. But I said it can't be. There's some questions here. So I dug a little deeper. The next thing you know, finally, I'm coming across some sources that are like, hey, take a look at this. Take a look at that. Why does this work this way? Why does that work that way? And that's when I began to break out from, I mean, this was a real red pill. This wasn't, you know, a bunch of people running around running a false flag operation where I had figured out how they do what they do. This was, how far back does it go and how deep does it get and what's the truth? And so I worked on that one for a long time. I'd say 3 or 4 months before I ever said anything to another soul that I was looking into it, because I was embarrassed. I was afraid. I lost. Could it be true? Am I going crazy? Am I out of my mind? And of course, then it began to all make sense. Everything started coming together. I began putting all the pieces together, and I began seeing it, and I began to understand it. And I'm like, damn, that lady might not have known why she was right, but she was right. And she might have sounded crazy as hell, but now I don't think she's so crazy. So there are big events that happen in somebody's life where every step gets you a little bit closer to breaking out of the orthodoxy. And sometimes it start like with my dad, it was easy. All I had to do was tell him, hey, this Las Vegas thing you're seeing on the, he's like, oh yeah, can you believe it? It's all fake. 3 days later, 3 days is all it took. He had all his neighbors in the house. They were all watching the show, and he's pointing it out to him. It's fake. And they're, it's fake. It's fake. It's fake. That whole apartment complex woke up because I told my dad that it was fake. And he brought everybody over to help him evaluate it. Now they're all like, oh, what does Brian have to say about that? I need to watch Brian's show. You know, so you never know when standing up for some little thing that goes in the face of what somebody currently believes, you never know how that's going to be a snowball and turn into something much, much bigger. And this, that's the point. That's why we do what we do. We're not here to propagandize your mind and teach you to see what we see or think what we think or talk like we talk. We're here to help people break out, because I believe the color revolutions that are engineered by the government and by the forces that are out there are temporary measures. They are temporary checks. They have short-term consequences. You can have $1 billion, and it's how long is it going to work for you? It's going to work for you short-term or maybe medium-term. But long-term, what pops out on the other side? Garbage, because it was fake and it was fabricated. What wins at the end? How do you win the war? Truth.
Very nice. Thank you, brother. For in BitChute, for people who want to question flat Earth, then you got to take on the evidence. And as for me, the idea of flat Earth, like, I was annoyed at it. I didn't want to have to say anything about it. But eventually, you know, people ask. So I think that I can just keep it to the Socratic method that RFK and talked about RFK too. And I frame it as, I don't know anything. I don't know. I look out of plane windows. I look at horizons, and I've seen 50 to 100 videos. And the video evidence seems to demonstrate the refutation of the official formula. Now, if somebody wants to defend the official formula, then okay, let's hear it. Explain how that shit's visible on the horizon, huh? And as a professional mathematician, I can't. And that would have me conclude that, okay, so we're not on a sphere of the stated shape and size, and all the examples I've seen is it's got to be either super, super big. That's not how a mathematician should talk. It's, I don't know how many scales. I haven't figured that out, but it seems flat, appears as flat. And that just seems to be the data. And part of what we're talking about with to break you out, as Brian was talking about, is to help move people from being emotionally polarized and just a frightened herd animal that is just false flagged one way or another and dictated to being a person who is able to talk specifically to what the facts are. And then the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is you can have any opinion you want about those facts, baby. You can have any policy position. And that would be the kind of the prerequisite to living in a free society. If the people, if the sheeple are herdable and people like us are just in the minority, then we're kind of the sheep just bleeding to ourselves and an unrecognizable language to the normies. All right. Anything else, brother?
No, I'll just give, if anybody starts to look into it, you're going to have a bunch of hangups. Okay. There's going to be a lot of problems. First of all, you're going to visualize a disc floating through space with ice coming off the walls, and it's not at all There's no credible flat earther that believes that, okay? We would more probably, I'll give you a hint that'll help you cut through the garbage, okay? Just give you a hint, okay? Space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. I'm quoting the great Anthony Kiedis, L.A., Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay, you got to throw that idea out. You got to throw it out, and you got to say, where are we? What are we? And you got to start there. And if you start there and you take with the little orb that you can see, the world that is surrounds you, you have enough evidence in there to be able to take a look at the beauty and design of your hands and your eyes and this world and the trees and the seeds. You have enough there to say, wait a second, wait. We're designed. How important are we? Did he just leave us? Did he just, you know, whatever this entity, did he just build us and leave us? Or is he indeed there? And how important are we? That's what you, if you can begin to look through that lens and instead of, you know, what you've been taught, then you've got a big head start. You got a big head start.
Yeah. Well said, brother. And you'll have something to say about it. That'll be authentically you, not anybody else. Okay. Next. We have more 2024 election optics. We do have, that was an excellent video with, and he's just saying here what I already told you. He's saying, hey, if you want to vote for, if you want RFK 2 in power, then vote for Trump, because then he'll be in power. We have 53 days. Kamala Harris has yet to do a formal press conference since emerging as the Democratic nominee. It's 56 now, I think. Kamala claims banning assault weapons is consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun. Remember, it's everything is opposite from these people. I'll play this because it's pretty typical.
When we talk about crime, the conversation turns to gun safety as well. And I think you actually probably caught a lot of people off guard, maybe a bit by surprise in the debate the other night when you mentioned that you are a gun owner. I know you said it in 2019 as well. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your values on this issue. When it comes to gun ownership, where do you draw the line in America on gun ownership and gun use?
Well, like you said, Brian, I
want to point out the softball question, how he set it up there. It's, what are your values? So he's saying, tell us a story. And that's what they do to dictate reality to us.
I'm a gun owner, and Tim Walz, my running mate, is also a gun owner. We're not taking anybody's guns away. I support the Second Amendment, and I support reasonable gun safety laws.
Yeah, and that's what they always do. It says, of course I support the Second Amendment. Of course. Except... And then they'll use whatever language to do what they want.
Part of my approach to this is I was a career prosecutor for most of my career. I have personally prosecuted homicide cases. I have personally looked at autopsies. I have personally seen what assault weapons do to the human body. And so I feel very strongly that it is consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun to also say we need an assault weapons ban. They're literally tools of war.
It is consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun to also say we need an assault weapons ban.
False, wrong, incorrect, negative, no, nay, absolutely not.
Yeah, the purpose of the Second Amendment is to have the people defend themselves against their own government, Kamala, and they will always ignore that. All right, I know Ms. Kamala maybe has kind of a racy past. Oh, please play. Let me see if I can reload this.
He's a rogue, all right, notorious for his flamboyant.
So this is San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown when Kamala was a he got her her first job, and he got her in other ways.
Buoyant lifestyle, flashy clothes, fancy parties, fine women.
Are you his daughter?
No, I'm not.
And fast cars.
You should from now on address me as the mayor.
If ever a man and a municipality were made for each other, it is this man, this place.
Yeah, and that was Kamala. And Tim Walz had this to say.
Because this started, and I love this story, as a young prosecutor, Kamala Harris talked about going in that courtroom for the first time.
Yeah, it started out as a young prostitute. And we'll have Damon Imani, and you have the virtue signals. And this is typical. The family will pretend to care about an issue that advances the propaganda but ignores other issues.
So my mom and I executive produced a documentary called Zorowski v. Texas that follows three extraordinarily courageous women who were denied medically necessary abortion care. And I think we have to bear witness to these stories because we do think these stories need to be heard.
Okay, so Chelsea, I'm glad for you and your new documentary. But talking about the stories that need to be told and your activism to help women, are you going to make a documentary about the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, whose infamous island your father visited many times, not to mention Epstein's girlfriend, who's also a convicted sex trafficker, attended your wedding? But are you going to tell the story of those victims?
Yeah, that's a good question. And of course, we know why they won't, because they are the clients. J6 defendant Trennis Evans testifies J6 political prisoners were offered classes in jail on Trump's big lie, Trump's crimes, Trump's attacks on democracy. And that's their testimony. So that's official re-education camp and material. And I'll play one more minute of The View.
Donald Trump is doing something that was just brought to my attention. Donald Trump is doing something that was just brought to my attention this weekend. He's on a podcast tour, mm-hmm. like with these some pretty mm-hmm. crazy people.
Yeah.
But the reach of these podcasts is massive. They're getting millions of hits. I saw a clip this weekend that a friend showed me. It was 20 million hits. He is hitting them all.
Okay, Sarah, let me just, I'm not sure why you would call podcasters like Lex Fridman, Logan Paul, Aiden Ross, all of these people who, by the way, do a much better job on interviewing people than you do, because you are very biased. The hosts on this show are very biased, but I get it because you're supported by the fake news ABC. But I'm not sure why you would call these people crazy for simply having a conversation with Trump. But I understand your frustration, since your show, this show, has millions of dollars in budget, and you still cannot even get a fraction of the views that they are pulling in.
And that's a big part of where the war is with these optics. And I do like the exposure of corporate media as necessarily a part of the empire. They have to literally cover the official lies and crimes. Brian, your thoughts?
Okay, so I want to talk about that Gateway Pundit article where they're trying to re-educate the January 6th prisoners. Let me remind you, everybody's heard these snippets, Kamala Harris, forgetting what's behind and laying out what's ahead, right? How does she make that phrase? Do you remember how she says that? Unburdened by what has been, looking forward to a brighter future. That's Marx. Forget your history. Forget what's behind you. When we say we're conservative, we conserve the ways of our fathers and forefathers. We're conservative. We conserve. We want to conserve. Unburdened by what has been, moving forward to what is ahead. Now, So they tested out the re-education camp concept on January 6th inmates. Okay. It might be a tiny microcosm of what happened during the Red Revolution in China, but it is exactly what happened. Khmer Rouge. Oh, you're a teacher. You're a historian. Oh, got to go. We got to replace you with the new kids that think the new way, because the old ways are bad. We got to out with the old, in with the new. Folks, that's communism, because they can't allow a historical perspective to coexist with a whole new redefining of language. Okay, and that's really fundamentally what's under the hood here. Think about that, your LGBTQ trans activism. Think about all of the they're Holocaust deniers. Think about how they use language to take the stigma off things that were rejected by our conservative fathers and replace it with something that doesn't have quite the stigma. Oh, you're no longer a dirty hooker. You're a call girl. You're no longer an illegal alien. You're a undocumented immigrant. It's a battle to try to redefine it. And you know who's most vulnerable to this battle? Are the young kids coming up through the academic institutions. They're most vulnerable because they haven't been taught completely the ways of our fathers, the thinking ways of our fathers. So what do you have? You've got basically a blank slate that is being designed to be a progressive move forward, and forget that old historical ways. Look back in the old history. They had slaves. They were bad people. Back in the old days, women stayed home and had babies. And back in the old days, they had families. We don't deal with any of that now because dad might not agree with what mom agrees with. This is Kamala Harris is the new face of communism. And what January 6th is doing is trying to bring it back in, because in the end, communism is the preferred means of governing for a dictatorial state that can place a communistic facade on the real true power structure that's in place. That's China, my friends. That's China. And it was Cambodia.
That's sharp, brother. I see you're on fire today. All right, let's go on to the...
Actually, I feel dull as hell lately, frankly. Nothing that excites me anymore about, you know, these things. It's like I've been through them all.
Yeah, it's a paradox. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat, but at the same time, it's like, oh, will the fuckery ever end? And it is
praying for the first prosecution. Praying for the first prosecution.
Yeah, well... All we can do is do what we can do and respond to that. All right, so for final thoughts, yeah, it is a dictatorial, it is a form of communism, and they're just taking advantage of whatever narratives that they choose to sell at the time. Now, with this, again, I see it as all a show, and I do see that the White Hats are in charge. Now, that said, that's just my opinion. I've been wrong a lot. And in BitChute, I'll go ahead and provide the documentation. I'll just go ahead and show it to you now because I wanted to show you something else. Two, in the final thoughts for public education and being able to get the kids when they're most vulnerable as a professional educator. National Board certified degrees from Berkeley and Harvard. 38 years. At my official conclusion is that public education is bullshit to train stupefied work animals. And I just go through our textbooks and point it out. That the history courses that the definition, I'll just give you a quick overview, is that bullshit. This is Professor Frankfurt, Harry Frankfurt, the most well-known and respected living U.S. historian. And he says, yeah, it's just a story to get people to do what you want them to do. And if you can tell the truth and get it done, yeah, do that. But if you got to lie, then you got to lie. But it's bullshit. You're just the manipulation of public opinion. And it's never going to be truthful. You're going to leave stuff out. That history, of course, is just a mythology. Government is the promised design structure, but doesn't pay any attention to what actually is happening. Economics is like the Orwellian opposite. We call debt money. And mathematics never connected to the real world. Student leadership, ASB, is an entertainment committee. Language arts, fails to inspire. Physical education fails to declare this national emergency. The fine and performing arts gets strangled and ends up being pay to play. Science is captured. The food is crap. But we do have solutions for that. And in terms of the evidence, if you just go to any of my news show, any of the news shows here, if you do want the argument about why I am at 95% certainty that the White Hats are in control, that's the documentation that draws me to that conclusion. And that what we witness is a war is never what you think it is. And so much of it is over our heads. And for me, I have to admit, I see so little. And how much of what I actually see can I trust? So I am content to, I'm not saying enjoy the show. Apparently enjoying the show is a acquired taste with more wisdom than I possess, but it's the only show in town. And as I keep saying, I don't see anything for me to do more than what I'm doing. Just encouraging patriots to stay strong, stay informed, be able to document your factual claims, have an argument that you can back up and win if necessary, if somebody actually would be interested in the actual evidence. But there's nothing more than just chatting with people right now that I personally see. And I understand, again, that people are engaged in all kinds of projects. And to the extent that you feel motivated to do those, well, great. Good for you. Good luck. And all that said, there will be something big breaking. The financial system, all of those attributes that we've been talking about, the supply of physical silver decreasing in these official warehouses, the prices ticked up for gold and silver. But if something big breaks that the normies won't believe the narrative again, then I think that there will be openings present that everyone will see. And I'd be very excited to share what we may see that we're doing at that time. But until that time comes, we're just chatting among ourselves. And I like Brian bringing up that RFK 2 video for RFK 2 and Roseanne to talk about it, and for RFK 2 for the Socrates part of it, and for me to emphasize that, you know, I don't know much of anything other than pointing out a few official lies. Brian, final thoughts, brother.
Well, you bring up Socrates. He was considered the wisest philosopher, perhaps the wisest man who ever lived, by the Romans. Very sophisticated society. And yet he himself walked around claiming to know nothing. What a paradox. What an interesting paradox. How did he go about doing what he's doing? He asked a lot of questions. Are you sure about this? Are you sure
everything
about
is this? Everything is paradoxical, except sometimes.
Yeah, the old philosophers are great. I like listening to them. I've had a bunch of theology training with the old philosophers. I've enjoyed that a great deal. And that's really where my heart's at. I don't always show it on these shows because of our audience, but that is really where my heart's at. I tend to think that life is short, and that when it's over, that's when life really begins. When these bodies grow old and die, that's when it really starts. And so I probably live more toward making sure that what comes in the hereafter is well taken care of, rather than just trying to live for whatever I can get out of this world here. It's the guys that live with that appetite for this world that end up being the billionaire oligarchs that control our lives. Whereas the guys that give the most and do the most for society are the ones that just simply work hard, think, make friends, say profound things, and develop and help develop other people. So I think that's the goal. That's what I'm after.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, audience. We'll be back on Wednesday with more of the news that you need to know.